Experience holiday cheer at Tanger Outlets with savings up to 70% off your favorite brands. From fragrances to accessories and the latest styles, discover the best gifts for everyone on your list. Save big at Nike Factory Store, Michael Kors, Under Armour, Coach, Polo Ralph Lauren, Kate Spade New York, and so many more. Unwrap the best at Tanger Outlets. Hundreds of brands, endless gifting options. Plan your trip at tanger.com.
SM presents The Tim Meisberg Show, streaming live on WBSM.com and the WBSM app. Call 508-996-0500. Send us app chat messages and open line voicemails using the WBSM app. Now, The Tim Meisberg Show.
Welcome back in hour number two of the program here on Thursday morning. We are now less than a week away from Christmas. And what does that mean for you? Well, it probably means, if you're like me, you haven't gotten your shopping done yet. Some of you are well positioned to enjoy the next couple of days. Some of you are stress-free. Or at least if your stress is still there, it's about something different than gift giving. But a lot of you are like me. It always heartens me to know that Mayor John Mitchell, who's one of the smartest people that I know, say what you will about him. You know, I know some of you don't agree with him, and so, but you have to admit, he's a very smart man. Went to Harvard. He's a very smart man. And to know that he waits to do his Christmas shopping makes me feel better about it. It's not procrastination. It's strategy. And even though, you know, I don't have to buy much and I could have been doing it all along, I don't. I thought about it the other night. The other night I was at Wareham Crossing and I said, I can knock out what I get my parents, it's no surprise, I get them the same thing every year. Get them a Lowe's gift card for all of the inevitable projects they have to do around the house. And then I get them each something, usually like a sweatshirt or a jacket or something, because they won't buy those things for themselves. And they both work overnights and they both work jobs where they could be cold. But I could have purchased those months ago, and I don't. I wait until the last minute because, I don't know, that just feels more Christmassy to me. And I remember the first time I went Christmas shopping for people. I had no idea what to get anybody. I was getting something for all of my siblings. This is before any of us had children. So I'm getting something for all my siblings, for my parents, for my aunts and uncles. And I was overwhelmed. I had no idea. And this is the pre-gift card era. This is like the mid-90s. This is pre-gift cards. And I just couldn't figure it out. Do I get them something I know they like, but then I run the risk that they already have? Or do I get them something that I think they would like and that they should know? I like it. It drove me crazy. And then there was a year where I was like, you know what? I'm just going to get like clothes for all my siblings. It'll be easier. Get them some nice clothes they wouldn't normally buy themselves. And then it's like, well, who wears what? Where do I shop for this person? And I bought a sweater for my sister Patty at the Gap, and it's the first and only time I've ever bought anything at the Gap. Does the Gap still exist? I think it does, right? There's still Gap stores. Now it's just Gap, though. It's not the Gap. But this was the 90s when they had all those commercials and... So I don't know. I'm probably not the best gift shopper. One thing that I'm good at, though, is greeting cards. Like, that's if I'm known for something in my family, it's for picking out the funniest greeting cards. So I am proud of that. When it comes to the gift giving, you know, it's nice if somebody likes what you gave them, but I'm also like expecting every time, like, I don't know if they're going to like this. That's why gift cards are just so much easier. Thank goodness for gift cards. If you are someone who is looking for gift cards to give, you know, all of our great sponsors have gift cards available. Just make it easy on yourself. Now, how do you feel about getting gift cards, though? We know that it's easier to give, but how do you feel about getting gift cards? Because I've talked to a number of people who there's mixed responses to that question. There's mixed results when asking people that. And I'd be interested in hearing your thoughts, 508-996-0500. Or you can send an app chat message, or you can record an open line voicemail on the WBSM app. But I don't want to get your take. How do you feel about receiving gift cards? I think it's the best thing in the world when I get a gift card. I don't feel as if it's a cop-out or a cheap way out. I know that it's hard to purchase gifts for people, and it's hard to find things that you know people either like or don't have, especially somebody like me who... If I want something, I usually just get it. And then when somebody says, well, what do you want for Christmas? I don't need anything. What do you want for your birthday? I don't need anything. Also, I'm going to be 47. I don't need birthday gifts anymore. So it becomes, I'm sure, difficult for somebody to get something for me when that's the attitude that I have about things. But I love a gift card because I usually hold on to them until there's something that I want. Or, you know, like there's times when I'm waiting for that paycheck to come before I can get my next meal. Thank God somebody gave me a gift card to 99. Because now I can have dinner the day before the paycheck comes. Or maybe, you know, maybe my computer breaks or my surround sound breaks or something. Well, thank God I've got those 4 years worth of Best Buy gift cards that I've been saving up in case something goes wrong. And I've done that many times where I've made major purchases using gift cards I'd been hoarding for a couple of years. In fact, I was at my storage unit yesterday and the intern from Fun 107 was helping me pull some stuff out. And I was bragging. I was like, see that grill I have in here? Because that's where I keep my grill. I was like, see this grill that I have in here? I bought that exclusively with gift cards. Saved up like 6 years worth of gift cards to Walmart and bought that. So I love getting them, but not everybody feels that way. Not everybody. Some people feel like it's impersonal. Some people feel like it's an obligation for them to go to a place. You know, like, let's just say I got you a gift card for the butcher shop. And you said, well, I don't really go to the butcher shop. I live in Wareham. I'm not going to go to New Bedford to go buy some meat. I'm giving you that gift card because I want you to go have that experience. I want you to go try it. I've been trying to get my parents to go to places for years, and I'm like, I'm just going to get you a gift card and make you go there. You know, because they don't like to go to fancier, more upscale places. It's not their thing. But I'm like, no, you got to go here and try the food. Get them a gift card. Make them go. But I, like I said, I love gift cards, and I find that it creates a little bit of an adventure for somebody. In addition to being able to get something, they have to go actually look for something or experience something. That's my take on it, but maybe you feel differently. 508-996-0500. Good morning. You're on WBSM.
Good morning.
How are you?
Good. I always wanted to break into radio, and I was just wondering, you know, I understand internships are a good way to get a feel for the industry and maybe make a name for yourself. Is it important if you want to be an intern in radio that you can lift heavy objects and clean out storage containers?
Well, it's kind of one of those things where you do a little bit of everything. And as somebody that has to do a little bit of everything here myself, like I want to make sure that they know that there's a little bit of everything involved. So he actually came to help work on the video that we were filming, and then offered to help me. I was carrying a radio over from from our storage unit, from the company storage unit over to mine because the engineer didn't want it anymore.
Hey, I'm tongue in cheek.
I know. And the thing about internships is you always hear like the jokes of how, you know, the interns make coffee. Like, you know, their job is to make the coffee for everybody. I would never make an intern make my coffee because they screw it up.
Because you don't trust them.
Yeah, they might spit in it.
Well, listen, you know, internships are great. You know, Northeastern started that. They were kind of pioneers a little bit, at least in the Boston area. And, boy, if somebody is trying to break into an industry, whether it's radio or anything, and you can get an internship, then there's two ways. The intern can understand if they really like that industry.
Mm-hmm.
And the employer, without any real obligation, can find out, wow, this is a good person.
Right.
That's a great way to get a job.
The story that I always tell, see, our interns, most of them, majority of them come from Greater New Bedford Voc Tech. And, you know, the story that I always like to tell is, you know, look at Taylor Cormier. He came here as a Voc Tech intern when he was in high school and did such a great job. They hired him part-time as a news reporter. And then he went on to become a full-time news reporter and talk show host. And then he became the news director. And then he went on to move on to produce the Howie Carr Show. So, I mean, he had that pathway all from just coming here as a high school intern.
You know, absolutely. I think it's a great, it can go the other way too. You can say, well, that's not really what I want to do.
Mm-hmm.
I did an internship at the DA's office when I was a kid thinking I wanted to be a lawyer. And I got kind of dismayed by
some of the
stuff I saw. But I think it's good. I just want to call up and say hello, Tim. And I didn't catch your first story totally about, there's a lawsuit against CVS.
Yeah, the U.S. Department of Justice is filing they call a civil complaint against CVS, saying that they basically, you know, prolong the opioid crisis or worsen the opioid crisis by just giving prescriptions to people that they shouldn't have been, filling prescriptions for opioids that they shouldn't have been.
They were the last stop. So a doctor had written it up, but they were the last. I always kind of wondered whether the pharmaceuticals or the companies that make the Oxy or the pharmacies that distributed it or the doctors. I could never figure out who was more to blame for that. I do remember, I'll let you get going, but I do remember my mom when she was elderly. You know, chronic pain, and it was about 2016 around then. You know, up at Fonts, the medical center up there, and her doctor, her general practitioner, saying, "Well, you know, I can't keep prescribing you narcotics."
Mm.
And I'm like, "What are you worried about? A 90-something-year-old woman, you know, becoming an addict?" And there was all sorts of concerns, but the doctor told me, this is what happened. They thought they promoted this as a time release narcotic, and then but who knew somebody's going to crush the pills and, you know, and smoke it or whatever, you know,
right,
and abuse anything. And ultimately, my mother had to go to a pain specialist, and there was some a more milder drug, but it was something that just kind of managed her pain. But it, you know, ultimately, what are you supposed to do? We know these things wear off after time. So you need immediate pain relief. Well, you got to be really careful not to expect that's going to that whole tolerance and the dependency is a terrible thing. It's a great, it's a great thing for somebody to relieve pain, but boy, it's a double-edged sword.
Yeah, I mean, it gave so many people their life back that were dealing with chronic pain until it then, took their life away because now they were addicted to it.
Yeah, I'm not sure CVS is really at fault for this. Although, they were making money off it.
Well, apparently they had whistleblowers and people within the company that were expressing concern to corporate saying, we really shouldn't be fulfilling these prescriptions. And they were saying, no, if they come in with a prescription, you fill them. So, the corporate people were making these decisions.
Wasn't that the state law? Because I used to pick up my mother's prescriptions right down the road from you, and they'd say, we need your license. It was your mother's date of birth because it was a narcotic. They seemed to be doing their diligence. It wasn't a CVS. It was one of the other major chains. I'm not sure. I'm not sure. I thought they were doing what they were supposed to be doing, but they didn't do enough, apparently.
Yeah, apparently. According to the U.S. Attorney for Rhode Island, Zachary Cuna, people were walking in with prescription pads that said, give me 50 pills of smack, and that's what they were filling. So, I don't know if he's being a smartass with that or if that was an actual, case example, but if that's something that actually was happening, that's horrendous.
Well, I remember Florida years ago when they used to have those the kind of free tabloids, like the Phoenix in Boston. There were several of them around the country. And the Backpage down in Florida, this is in the late 80s, early 90s, loaded, the back cover was loaded with pain relief. Doctors, they were pill mills.
Yep.
And they were out in the open and... We've seen what's happened. It's a very tough societal problem, and the Chinese seem to be able to fill the gap with fentanyl. Can't give people pain pills. It's a tough thing. I'm not sure CVS is the proper target. That's all.
Well, we'll see where it goes. That's for sure. Because they're going to push this hard.
All right, appreciate it, Tim.
All right, you have a good day.
Bye.
And 508-996-0500. And that is the claims that the prosecutors are making against CVS, is that they were basically ignoring the protocols and the guardrails that were in place and writing these prescriptions anyway because it was more about the company making the money from the drug manufacturers. And that's the thing, is Purdue is offering such huge incentives for people to prescribe and fill these prescriptions that they weren't. And also, as the caller pointed out, they were being lied to by the company, too, in saying that, this is time-delayed release. It wasn't working the way that it was being portrayed. We know that that's true now. And then the other problem is people were realizing they could get around the time delay by chopping it up, by snorting it. So they could avoid, because it was the coating that was on the pill that caused the time delay. So you get rid of the coating and you get the instant gratification. So that might happen by people. And the other part of it, too, was the minute it started to fade, somebody would pop another pill. They weren't following the timing that was recommended by doctors. Even the doctors that were trying to do the right thing. And what was it? Dope Sick? That was the one with Michael Keaton. you know, the doctor that he was portraying, the person he was portraying, was trying to do the right thing and thought he was prescribing things the right way, only to find out that the manufacturer was lying to him. But he didn't realize how quickly these folks were saying, you know what, no, I'm not going to follow that schedule. Because the minute I start to feel a little bit of pain, I want to get rid of that. And the complete elimination of pain, while beneficial for the patient, also makes it harder for them to even deal with that little bit of pain. So if you take codeine, Tylenol with codeine, and it dulls the pain, I'd rather have that than have something that makes it go away, but then I become completely dependent on that because I don't want to feel it at all. 508-996-0500. I've got to take a break here. We'll be back in a few moments. And welcome back in. We will take some of your calls coming up, 508-996-0500. Right now, though, it's time to go into the newsroom and get all the top stories of the day from Phil Devitt.
Donald Trump says not so fast on a bill to prevent a government shutdown. The accused CEO killer headed back to New York, and a mega jackpot gets bigger.
From the WBSM newsroom, this is WBSM News.
President-elect Donald Trump is opposing the bipartisan funding bill that would prevent a government shutdown. Members of Congress announced Tuesday a deal had been reached to keep the government open until March 14th, but Trump and his running mate J.D. Vance have released a joint statement criticizing the bill, jeopardizing its prospects in the Republican-controlled House. The Dow Jones fell over 1,000 points on Wednesday. At the closing bell, the Dow lost 1,123 points. The S&P 500 lost 178 points. And the Nasdaq fell over 3.5%, dropping 716 points. The Federal Reserve cut interest rates by a quarter point Wednesday, but investors turned sour when they learned the Fed would likely cut rates only twice in 2025. Luigi Mangione is waiving extradition. Reports say he could be transferred from Pennsylvania and be back in New York City by today. He's facing murder and terrorism charges in the killing of UnitedHealthcare CEO Brian Thompson. Israel and Hamas may be getting closer to a Gaza ceasefire deal. Reuters reports a Palestinian official said that mediators have narrowed gaps on most of the agreement's clauses. The outlet also reported CIA Director William Burns set to take part in ceasefire talks in Qatar. An agreement that would include the return of hostages held by Hamas in Gaza and Palestinian prisoners held by Israel reportedly could be signed in the coming days. The CDC confirms the first case of severe bird flu in the U.S. The agency said a patient was hospitalized in Louisiana. Data showed the patient was infected with a strain of the virus that was spreading in wild birds and poultry in the country. They were reportedly exposed to sick and dead birds in backyard flocks. And the already massive Mega Millions jackpot is rolling over again. Tuesday night's grand prize went unclaimed, making the next drawing coming up on Friday worth at least $825 million. Lottery officials say it's the largest Mega Millions jackpot that's ever been up for grabs in the month of December. The cash option works out to just over $382 million.
WBSM Sports.
Boston Celtics host the Chicago Bulls tonight at 7:30, and the Bruins visit the Edmonton Oilers tonight at 9.
Now your ABC 6 South Coast forecast.
Clouds clearing, plenty of sunshine today, seasonable with highs in the low to mid-40s. On Friday, we're colder, reaching the mid to upper 30s. Rain and snow showers possible later on Friday. Just a coating expected here on the South Coast. And as for the weekend, we'll barely top freezing temperatures on Saturday, and it will feel very cold all the way into next week. This WBSM News Update is brought to you by Stevie's Wine and Spirits. Look for the purple dot to try before you buy, only at Stevie's Wine and Spirits in Fairhaven. I'm Phil Devitt for WBSM News. Stay up to date with New Bedford's News Talk Station, WBSM, and get all of our content and breaking news alerts with the WBSM app.
welcome back in. We're going to talk about Mega Millions in just a moment. But before I do that, if you are still, you still haven't decorated for the holidays, if you still haven't put up a Christmas tree and you're thinking to yourself, I'm never going to have time to get this tree up before next Wednesday. Well, what am I going to do? Let me tell you, the easiest thing to do is to just go over to Potting Bench Florists and Gifts in the CVS Plaza in Fairhaven. And you can just buy an already beautifully decorated boxwood tree. I was in Potting Bench yesterday, walking around, taking a look at some of those trees, and they are beautifully decorated. They are, they have different themes on them, and they give you a breakdown on the pricing of the tree of all the different ornaments and decorations put on it. So you know exactly why it costs what it does, and you know what all of these items are that are going to be on the tree. You get a full list of it. And the store is amazing. If you have never been in there, I highly recommend it. For guys like me that don't know anything about decorating, that don't know anything about home decor or flowers or any of that, that's all right. Because Danielle is awesome. Her team is awesome. They can take you around and show you all the great things that they have. And everything from Santa Claus decorations in all different ways to, you know, the ceramic Christmas tree with all those little light colored lights on it that everybody had back in the 70s and 80s and you just can't find anymore. They have those for sale too. They have everything you could need to decorate your home or to have a great gift to give to somebody else. Plus, of course, everything else that they have year-round at Potting Bench Florists and Gifts, such as silk flowers, fresh flowers, and because it's the holidays, they've got those poinsettias, they've got wreaths, centerpieces, all that stuff. So I highly recommend getting yourself over to Potting Bench Florists and Gifts to find something for yourself or for someone special this holiday season. Again, Potting Bench Florists and Gifts is located inside the CVS Plaza. It's at 2 Sarah's Way in Fairhaven. But I had mentioned we were going to talk about the Mega Millions. And Phil, of course, was telling you about the upcoming jackpot. But Barry has a story today at WBSM.com and on the WBSM app about what changes you can expect to Mega Millions in 2025. Because the price of the tickets is going to more than double, but they're saying you'll have a better chance of winning. Now, keep in mind that this is a multi-state game. It has produced six jackpot wins exceeding $1 billion. But it's going to be bigger and better coming in April 2025. Improved odds to win the jackpot, bigger jackpots more frequently, larger starting jackpots, faster growing jackpots, a built-in multiplier on every play, automatically improving every non-jackpot win by 2 times, 3 times, 4 times, 5 times, or 10 times, up to $10 million for matching the 5 white balls and no break-even prizes, meaning when a player wins, they'll always win more than the cost of the ticket. I don't know what half of that means. But what they're saying here is, you know, no more will you get just the cost of the ticket if you, what's it, if you get the, I don't know how any of it works. But this way here, you'll win at least more than that. It's like the equivalent of when you buy a dollar scratch ticket and you scratch it and you want a dollar. You're like, oh, good, I can keep playing. Let me get another one. And then you scratch that and you win a dollar and then you get another one and then you get nothing on that one. You're like, oh, well. But they're saying that won't be the case anymore. There'll be no more break-even prizes. You'll get something more than that. I don't know. You heard, you know, Mary calls in with, she's got her theories about the drawings. I think other people feel the same way. But the reason why you're getting these record jackpots is because you've got record numbers of people that are playing. You've got people that are looking for that quick way out. They'd rather spend $20 on Mega Millions tickets in the hopes that they get rich quick, then save that $20 and start to slowly build up some savings and some wealth. And it's not that they could. They're in a financial position where how much are they really going to be able to save? So they'd rather spend that $20 chasing the dream. And if it works out, great. But for 99.999999999999% of the people that play it, it's not going to work out. And I'm pretty sure if I won a $1 billion jackpot, I could find a way not to screw that up. Like, I could find a way to... My first call is to Jose Matos. As he always said, you win, I'm your first call. Because he will make sure that you do not screw it up. But I'm pretty sure $1 billion, I could find a way to not screw up. But I know plenty of people who have won $1 million. Well, I shouldn't say plenty, but I know people who have won $1 million or a couple of hundred thousand who found a way to blow that money pretty quickly. You know, and you always hear the story. Oh, yeah. You know Joe? Yeah, I know Joe. Yeah, Joe won the lottery like 10 years ago. Oh, really? Yeah. How much did he win? Oh, he won $1 million. Well, that's amazing. What did he do with it all? Oh, well, you know, he doesn't have any of it now. Gave some to his kids, paid off his house, bought some cars, bought a boat. You know, that unless you're investing some of that money into something that will keep returning money to you, that money is finite. Even if you take the 20-year payout, that money is finite. So the first thing I'd be doing if I won any kind of jackpot is, how can I start a business that will make me money? Or how can I invest some of this in a way that will make me money? That's why I'm going to call Jose. Because if somebody, you know, if I'm lucky enough to get a leg up like that, I want to make sure that I can keep it going. And also, my favorite are people, oh, if I won the lottery, I'm quitting my job the next day. Not me. I'm coming in to tell everybody how I won the lottery. And then I'm going to complain all the time about how much things cost. Because I know it'll know, well, you got $1 billion in the bank. Why are you complaining? Because it'll be fun. 508-996-0500. Good morning. You're on WBSM.
Hey, good morning, Tim. How you doing?
Good. How are you?
I'm sitting at one of your favorite spots, the Phoenix.
Oh, yeah. Great spot.
Having a cheese roll and a coffee, sitting here in front of the grill. How you doing?
I'm doing all right. It's a beautiful day out there today.
Yeah, that sunrise is beautiful. I was on the run earlier with a client. Hey, question. Has your news department gotten anything on that double shooting last night in New Bedford?
No, we reached out to the police, but haven't heard anything back.
Yeah, people are talking about it on the bus this morning. Yeah.
I think yeah, I think the folks that get back to me, I think they come in after 8 a.m., so hopefully we get some information then.
All right. Have a good one, my friend.
You as well. Enjoy that cheese roll.
Yeah, bye-bye.
And 508-996-0500. Going to take a break here. Going to remind you, too, you know, while we're talking about having some money and the benefits of being able to have some, maybe you've got a few dollars extra left over after you've gone out and bought all your gifts for everybody. Maybe you were wisely budgeting and you bought all your gifts earlier in the year and now you're not concerned at all about finances and you've got some money to give. I would ask that you consider making a donation, even if just a few dollars, to our mini miracle family this year. 7-month-old Scarlett and her mom, Megan. Scarlett is dealing with soft cleft palate, which makes it hard for her to be able to eat. Makes it hard, you know, because there's a hole in the top of her mouth. So when she's taking the bottle, she could be aspirating and choking. So her mom has to basically just stay home with her all day to watch out for all of that. And now Scarlett appears to be suffering hearing loss as well, but there is a surgery that can fix the cleft palate, the soft cleft palate, and can hopefully reverse her hearing issues, but she needs to gain weight in order to have that surgery. So we're trying to get her the bottles, the formula. We're trying to take care of the bills so that Megan can stay home and take care of her. We're trying to make sure that the family can have a great Christmas. And you can go to WBSM.com on the WBSM app now and donate to Scarlett and her mom, Megan. It's all through the United Way of Greater New Bedford, and all the information about how to donate is right there at the website, at on the app. You can call to make a donation. You can text. You can send in a check. All of that. And we also want to thank all of the great local businesses that stepped up and made donations. Sousa Family Orthodontics, First Citizens Federal Credit Union, Boca, Cask and Pig Kitchen and Ale House, Fall River Municipal Credit Union, Leach Garage and Auto Body, Stallion Plumbing, Heating and Cooling, and New Bedford Fire Union Local 841. So again, just go to WBSM.com, click on Mini Miracle for more. Going to take a break, and then when we come back from the break, we will go right to the phone. So hang on, Mary. I see you there. We'll be back in just a few moments. All right, welcome back in. 508-996-0500. Good morning. You're next on WBSM.
How are you doing?
Good. How are you?
Not too bad. First thing, I hope that little girl gets all the money that she needs. I have a feeling she's going to be okay. A lot of people have heard about her story, and I'm praying for her. I feel she's going to be okay. I'll certainly take care of her if I ever win that money. But for a long, long time, I never knew what the multiplier ball meant. And I made it a point to find out one day. And do you know what that means?
No.
Okay. This has nothing to do with the jackpot. If you win the jackpot, you get the whole thing. But say you won five numbers without the ball. You didn't get that last ball to match it, you know.
Mm-hmm.
That's $1 million if you get five. Now, if you get match five and you get that $1 million and say that the multiplier number at the end is also a five, you're going to get $5 million. They will multiply your winning.
Okay.
But they don't do it, of course, with the jackpot. You're going to win the whole thing, yeah. So I have a habit of getting many, many times just that mega ball alone. Now, on that game, Mega Millions, you get two lousy dollars, which is the price you paid to get the ticket. So you think, well, I get a free play. No, you don't. That's the money you spent, and you're probably going to lose again the next time. So if it's the Powerball game, you will get $4 for just that ball at the end. So I've already made my decision months ago when I first heard that they were raising the price of playing that I'm not playing anymore because I do think the game is screwed up. When I was younger, like in my 30s, at 40s, when I was 43 years old and I had my children, it was so different back then. 1 year on a $1 scratch ticket, I won five times. I got $500 five times.
Wow.
Within 2 years. And it just happened to be a couple of those times was my kid's birthday. They have the same birthdays, both of them. They're 7 years apart, but the same day for their birthday. And they had a good birthday on that. And on another time when I tapped it like that, it was near Christmas, and they were lucky on that day too. But do you remember Governor Jane Swift?
Yes.
Yeah, you're old enough to remember her?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Anyway.
I'm Facebook friends with her now.
Came along. Yeah, I'm sorry?
I'm Facebook friends with her now.
Oh, are you?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, good. Well, you should have a talk with her and tell her about me. I'm very upset with you. You can talk to her?
I don't know. You can, too. Just send her a friend request. She accepted mine.
I don't do that. But you say you know her. No, that's
no I don't know her. I'm just Facebook friends with her. I just follow her on Facebook.
Okay. Well, Governor Jane Swift was the one that changed the way the lottery was going when she was in office. She had the power to do that, and she did. There were less winnings, harder to win, and less payoffs. She shortened the payoffs and all. I will remember that, and that's the truth. I dare anybody out here who's listening that doesn't remember that to come out here and say I'm lying. She changed the lottery when she was in office. What is she doing now? She's not still governor. Is she nowhere?
I don't know. I forget what she's doing now.
It was her. And then I kind of got the idea that why are they doing that? What's doing that up? I mean, I'm sorry. I made that decision. I am definitely not buying anymore because now I don't think enough people are starting to realize that it's got to be almost $1 billion before one person in some state somewhere wins. And now they want to make it sound more exciting, more chances for you to get more people to play. Because a lot of people, I've talked to a lot of people. There's over 327 people in my building. And almost every single one of them, when we mentioned the lottery, they all say, oh, I cut way back. I cut way back. So the lottery, I think, is feeling that and realizing it. And so now they have to make it look attractive to you. So good luck with it. I am not going to pay. I was paying, it was used to be a dollar, then it went to two. And now I'm not sure, was it three?
It'll be five now, so.
It's going to be five?
That's what it says in Barry's story. I got to hold you there because I got to take a break, but I just looked it up.
All right, have a good day.
Well, it says here that Jane Swift is the founder and president of the board of directors at Cobble Hill Farm Education and Rescue Center Incorporated.
Oh.
Whatever that is.
Okay, have a good day, but I'm not playing after that. Bye now.
All right, take it easy. I got to take one final break here for this hour. We'll be back in a few moments. Welcome back in. So if you are looking for a real mom and pop kind of shopping experience, if you're looking for a place where you can go to get things like hardware, if you're looking for a place where you can go and get feed and grain, if you're looking to go and get stuff that you need for your farm or for your backyard farm or for your garden, but you want to go to somebody that actually knows what they're talking about, not just some high school kid that's where they got a job, then you want to go to M&M Hay and Feed. It's formerly Marvin Grain. It's South Dartmouth's Heritage Grain and Hardware Store, and it really is an old-school mom-and-pop shop experience. When you walk in there, whether it be to get some of their hard-to-find brand-name pet foods, grain by the pound, feed by the pound, nuts and bolts, whether it be hay, straw, screen repair, laying hens, meat, chickens, turkeys, they have it all. So check out M&M Hay and